Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. My guest this episode is IndyCar CEO Mark Miles. Sat down for what was our second annual general discussion of the season ahead, the major topics that he is looking at to fix, improve, better, or otherwise. Also, the other major items on his plate to carry forward. So what I did here, we sat down for, I think, about a half hour. And I've actually split this into two parts. First part being a general look at his opinion of where IndyCar is at compared to when he first started. Then also did a pretty heavy dive into the rather important negotiations for IndyCar's next television contract, the existing contract, which runs out at the end of 2018. We know that he and other members of the IndyCar cabinet have been busy meeting with everyone from ABC to ESPN to NBC, digital and streaming options like Amazon with their Prime service, Netflix, just across the board, the broadcast and the digital, quote, over-the-top solutions. So did a pretty deep dive there. I've saved part two where we get into things like finding a replacement for Verizon, whose title sponsorship comes to an end at the end of the season, and also search for a third, fourth, and who knows how many engine manufacturers to join Chevy and Honda, and a few other topics. So we're going to do part one today and part two tomorrow. So hopefully you enjoy that, and also, frankly, just really appreciate Mark's willingness to sit down almost whenever I ask for some of his time to bring part of whatever's going on in his IndyCar world to you. You can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast presented by Cooper Tires on iTunes, on Podbean, on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page, and, when I am less lazy, on MarshallPruitt.com. All right, off we go with Verizon IndyCar Series CEO Mark Miles and our sit-down at Phoenix International Raceway, a.k.a. ISM Raceway.
Mr. Miles, last year, I think at this exact event, we sat down and did this.
In this exact place, I think.
A highly informal, don't call it IndyCar State of the Union, but kind of a coming out of the previous season, where are we at, how are we doing to start the new season? So maybe just stick with that to begin. 2018, we've got a good number of cars on track here. Four new teams represented, which is, I think, a high watermark for a single year growth for this series. This probably is, I try not to lob too many softballs, but I can't think of anything really counter to toss in. Paddock vibe feels good. On track product looks good. What's your thought and feeling? Because you're not the minister of feeling good, you're the minister of prosperity, growth, and upward movement.
Yeah.
So how much do you see here that makes you happy? How much do you see here where in the back of your head you're like, okay, this is on my to-do list because I want to move the ball forward in a few other areas?
Well, you know, you can't whitewash a problem. And my perspective isn't that many years. I've finished five in this early part of the sixth. And being getting longer in the tooth, my memory isn't perfect. But I know I felt 5 years ago very differently about where we are, where we were then compared to where we are now. And I've got a lot of outside perspectives, but I think it's worth starting with the inside story. And you mentioned it. I feel like from the paddock, which in a way is our biggest collection of investors in the series, it's really good news. The growth in the new teams, the ongoing commitment of the established guys. You know, Dallara, if they were sitting here, would tell you they're trying to make 12 new cars or deal with they can't remember a higher level of demand for being able to put their product on the track. It's great to see the new sponsorships that are appearing, and you know, every team will always feel like they're one sponsor away from oblivion, but it feels like that's a little further away, that abyss, than it's ever been before. So I think there's lots of really positive indicators that we're definitely not just heading in the right direction, but we're moving in the right direction. I'm very focused right now on finishing our media negotiations for what will happen after this season, and I'm encouraged, very encouraged, frankly, by the prospects for doing many of the things we sought out to achieve so that we have a better foundation for more fans watching IndyCar, both on linear broadcasters and will be, I hope, think, we'll be moving forward on an over-the-top offering as well. And that's so important as media changes and as we focus on keeping our fans and growing more and younger fans at the same time. And that's such an important foundation for the next title sponsor and other sponsorships we want to attract to the series, and that our team owners want to attract to their cars, and that our promoters want to attract to their venues. So we got lots of work to do. That's never going to stop, but I feel like we've got more positive things to sell than in my 5-year tenure anyway.
So let's pick up on the TV / digital movement. When we spoke about this last year, very adamant that you did not want to tie IndyCar into any contract that was not going to be as forward-looking as possible. We don't know everything about where TV is going, whether traditional Nielsen ratings are going to diminish as live streaming numbers rise, you know, over-the-top numbers rise. We don't know exactly how that balance is going to shift, but we certainly think the over-the-top side is going to be a bigger and bigger player year by year. How have you approached this as you talk to broadcasters, again, both linear and over-the-top, about coming up with something for IndyCar that doesn't paint you into a contract that is, say, perfect for 2019, 2020, but maybe is holding the series back but for 2025? Is it a short duration contract? I can't imagine. I don't know if that would be beneficial or not, but how do you try and get what you want while also trying to be a bit of a magician and fortune teller to see what we might need in the future?
Well, the first I'd say, I think I was involved in my first television negotiation for the 1987 Pan American Games. So I've been an observer and sometime participant of the media market in the States and globally for what's getting to be a long time, and I have never seen the disruption and the rate of change even in the same zip code as what it is now. So nobody can tell what things are going to look like in really only a few years. Change is a constant, and the pace of change is accelerating. One just needs to look at the media marketplace and see the mergers and the new configurations and the investments that others are making to know that. So our bias has been to go shorter, and that's because I just don't think anybody can crystal ball what 10 years looks like.
Because we're coming off we're about to wrap up, what is that, a 10-year contract that had been signed?
Yeah.
Long before you were tasked with this, but...
Yeah, with Versus.
Yes.
Right, in part.
The Outdoor Life Network, I think it,
you know. Yeah, that's probably right. So anyway, I think it's got to be shorter rather than longer. I don't think it'll even be 5 years. And we just need to keep as much flexibility as possible. So that's how you deal with the dynamism in the marketplace. It gets much more complicated even for a short-term deal than simply going short, and that has to do with how good a deal can we make now. So, if we were just bowled away by everything, we might be interested in going a little bit longer, but not long. And we're in a place now where we're having, I'd say, probably two a day discussions with kind of finalists.
Wow.
For the rights on a linear basis. And some of those, you can't have those conversations without talking about what you want to do over the top. So first you have to understand the aspirations of prospective linear partners from an over-the-top perspective. And let's just give one example of that. You know, Disney, ABC, ESPN, MLBAM, all those things in their on their platforms are an interesting case study where different investments have been made that are serious. ESPN is very serious about soon launching their over-the-top platform, as they have seen a continuation of cord cutting and skinnier bundles and all that goes with that. They've understood how important it is that they play in the over-the-top space and take it seriously. So no longer do I think in their case that that is a defensive matter, but really part of their future in a serious way. So ESPN Plus will get launched. I think it's slipping a little bit, but probably before we get to Indianapolis. Mm. And it's a big investment, and it's a very serious undertaking for them. NBC, for example, has NBC Gold. They're probably a little more flexible about how we might approach them for a linear deal and what over-the-top arrangements might be made. But everything is connected to everything else. And I thought a year ago that disruptive players like Amazon Prime and Facebook and even Twitter would be making a market more by now than they are. They really have kind of not really jumped in live sports to the extent that one might have thought, but it can't be very far away. So in the near term, I don't think it's a big bonanza. I know there were people who thought, you know, Amazon has more money than Fort Knox and they can get have their way with anything, and maybe they could, but they're not doing that yet. I don't think there's an economic strategy outcome in the next 2-3 years, which is a game changer financially. So it really boils down to the details of the discussions of the linear guys and how you can marry that with those over-the-top possibilities that are out there and readily available. All this, again, argues for relatively shorter rather than longer.
Anecdotally, it felt like last year when we discussed this topic, their leanings might have been towards we will likely end up with our linear broadcaster being a separate entity than our over-the-top provider. I'm not saying that's accurate, but just a general feeling from the conversation was that it sounds like the possibility of maybe doing something within the same house, has that increased, you know, with a proverbial ABC, ESPN, Disney that would also then have this new plus package as well? Not marrying IndyCar to them, but just general concept. Do you think the percentage likelihood of working with one entity that can serve linear and over the top greater than
I would have thought a year ago?
Hmm.
And I think part of that, again, just using them as an example, but not tying the conversation simply to a ESPN possibility. Their example is that it is a major priority for them to grow that business. And, you know, if you look up that corporate family tree, they've got resources to compete where they want to compete. So that's an obvious but expensive dynamic for them, given the cable cutting that we talked about. And becomes much more attractive, I think, to be complementary to their linear offerings.
Last question on this topic. So when IndyCar announced it was going to OLN/Versus, you know, almost a decade ago, among the many reactions, one was, you're going to a what would have to be defined as a challenger brand. This isn't a big raging monster you're plugging into. We've seen what it's become with NBCSN, highly impressive. Using history as a bit of a guide, is there any reticence when you're looking at options, pitches that are coming to you, or possibilities of shying away from challenger brands? Maybe more on the over-the-top side, I'm thinking, but knowing that the last time this happened, it wasn't necessarily the most beneficial thing for everyone for many years until recently, are you leaning in a direction of more household brand type names and that being a security blanket in and of itself? Or would that shorter contract be the thing that's kind of almost doesn't matter whether you sign a big name or a challenger brand?
Well, let me first say that NBC, NBCSN deserves enormous credit. I mean, since about 2013, they have doubled basically their IndyCar audience. And, you know, I think in the paddock and elsewhere in 2013, people were critical that it just wasn't big enough and certainly not clear on how much growth was possible. But their growth has been really terrific. They've delivered for us, I think, in a meaningful way. Saying that, it's not about whether it's more of a challenger brand or not. It's more of a calculation about who can deliver the most for us right away. And so I think it's probably more likely that it's your household name approach than not.
And that was Verizon IndyCar Series CEO Mark Miles sitting down for our first of a two-part look at the 2018 season and all the major things he is looking to accomplish. So coming tomorrow again, we will have title sponsor, engine manufacturers, and some other goodies for us to chop up and discuss. All right, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is Marshall Pruitt Podcast presented by Cooper Tires. Thank you for listening.